Your presence is all I need. All I need. Your presence is
all I need.
We're a desperate people. It's
all I need.
We're so very desperate. Your presence is
all I need.
It's all I need. Your presence is
all I need.
We're so desperate. You're
all I need.
Your nearness is
all I need.
We can't go a day without you. You're all
I need.
Your presence is.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Good evening,
Hello.
everyone.
Good evening, Deacon. Blessings.
Yes, indeed. God is a good God, and we are so fortunate to be here one more time giving him thanks. I remember the word of God. Jesus said to Peter, if he loves him, feed his sheep. You know, he said, loveth thou me, son of Jonah? Peter said, yes. He said, feed my sheep. And I conclude from that a telltale sign that we love Jesus is when we feed his sheep.
Amen.
He's very concerned about his people. He's very concerned about us. And you cannot say you love Jesus without you being a true witness of him. Tell others of him by the life you live, the words you speak, and your action. You know, when we love Jesus, we do what Jesus loves. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. So we're here this evening to dine at his table. We're here to have our full at the foot of the feet of Jesus this evening. Amen. So we're going to come with a rejoicing spirit. We know that it's very testing. The time that we're living in now is a very testing season, and is no surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise to us as Christians, because the word of God tells us exactly what we're going into as we embrace the cross, as we pledge the allegiance to the Lamb of God, to the Lamb of Calvary. We know exactly that is not an easy road. And we cannot bear these burdens alone. We have to have the Savior with us. And so as we go into a period of a time of devotion, we want to look at the storm patches in life. As believers, we go through some patchy here, some stormy clouds. You know, sometimes they follow us. Sometimes it's so gloomy when we face circumstances of life, when we face the odd edges of life. You know, we just want to briefly look at some things in it that can strengthen us as we go through these patches. You know, whether it be trials, hardship, sickness, uncertainty. In times like these, our Christian devotion, our duty as Christian, it calls us to a time of praising God. When we go through this stormy clouds, we need to immerse ourselves in His Word, you know, running to Him in prayer for refuge and trusting His presence to sustain us through the chaos when mayhem seems like it wants to grab a hold on us, when it seems like we have no clear days. It's all we wake up to in the mornings is just foggy days, cloudy life. We don't even know which road to take sometimes. It calls for us to spend time praising God. Amen. So these practices build spiritual resilience. When we learn to praise our way through, it builds spiritual resilience, knowing that storm tests will test and strengthen our faith rather than to destroy it. The Lord is not going to let anything happen to us that will destroy our faith if we put our trust in Him. You know, it is in these stormy moments that we remember that trials are not enemies of faith, but is an opportunity to prove God's faithfulness. You know, so we need to rejoice in our stormy days. It's hard, you know, but truth be told, including myself and many of us here, truth be told, many times when we are hit with the rough edges of life, we tend to pull in our shell and out our lamps. You know, we tend to have a little pity party and isolate ourselves from the body of Christ. We tend to make our rebellious nature and sometimes even get angry with God, saying, "How could God let this happen to me when I'm going through my midnight hour?" You know, instead of rejoicing and praising, you know, Paul and Silas, when they were in prison for doing the right thing, you know, and they were thrown into the inner cell. If they would have just locked themselves away, isolate themselves and say, "Oh, the God that we serve, this is what happened. We were just doing our normal duty as Christians. We were just going into the house of prayer." You know, the ninth hour, I think it was the ninth hour, the sixth hour, they were going into the house of prayer, and they were met with a lady that they had a spirit on that lady, and they rebuked that spirit, and because the spirit that she carries would cause our master to have much gain, and they rebuked the spirit so that she don't have that spirit again, and they were cast in prison for it. And if they would just keep their mouth shut and just lock in a corner and say, "Hey, I'm not going to praise God anymore because this is what my praises do." But instead, in midnight hour when everybody were asleep, they were up praising God, rejoicing and praising God. You know, that's the difference when a life has been fully surrendered to God. That's what it does, you know, praises even in the midnight hour. You know, so storms are expected for all believers. You know, storms, they are expected for all believers, but obedience to Christ's words ensure endurance. You know, it's like the house built on rock, which withstand floods. You know, when our house is in order and it's built on the rock, it can withstand any flood, any storm that would come our way, any storm that would want to rock our ship. We know that our anchor is all sure in Him. And we can rejoice in the midst of any storm that we go through as Christians. God promises to have companionship with us in the midst of our storm as well. He said in His word, Isaiah 43, verse 2, He said, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you." Jesus is able to calm any storm that you and I are going through even now. Amen. Do you remember when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples that is in Saint Mark 4, I think the last five verses of Saint Mark 4, 35 to about 41. And I'm going to read it quickly. "That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.'" I want you to mark those words, "over to the other side." "Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat as so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' Jesus. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Stay quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' Then they were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Yeah. When I look at this scripture, it just pumped out at me, saying that when you're going over to the other side, expect there to be a storm. When you're ready to elevate yourself in Christendom, there's going to be a storm. When you're ready to get your breakthrough, it's going to be a storm. When you're ready to break the shell that secludes you so much, there's going to be a storm. There's going to be some challenges that's going to come your way. There's going to be some storm as we go through life, as we grow in Christ. There's going to be some storm. The word of God says, "Let us go over to the other side." And going over to the other side, there was a storm. But let us look closely at it. This passage that I just read, it teaches us to trust in God, even when it seems like He is asleep amidst our turmoil, even when it seems like Christ is asleep in the midst of our turmoil. Trust in Him, same way He want to bring out some character in us. He want His character to rub off on us so that we can be stronger forever. Amen. That we are no wishy-washy Christians, but we are strong in Him. Amen. So we as God's people are called to praise and worship amidst our storm. It does something to the atmosphere that we are in. It shifts the atmosphere when people expect us to be cast down and to be dismayed, and when they see that we are rejoicing nonetheless. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though it seems like everything is hell is breaking, all hell is breaking loose, I'm still going to hold on to my praise. Though everything around me seems to be droopy, though everything around me seems to be withered, I'm still going to hold on to the unchanging hand of Jesus Christ. I'm still going to let my praises fill the atmosphere where I'm in. I'm still going to break loose because I know that I am going over to the other side. And in going over to the other side, there's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some Sambalat and some Tobias trying to get me to come down from what I'm doing. But I'm going to hold on nonetheless, though the storm comes, the billows roll, And though it may seem like everything is against me, I'm still going to hold on in the midst of my storm.
Amen.
Lift our
Amen.
praise. Nonetheless, it will shift the focus to God's sovereignty to show that God, He is God. We should praise, worship, and stay in the Word through our storm. Amen. We should also seek refuge in prayer. Psalm 57, verse 1 tells us, "Be merciful to me, O God, for in you my soul take refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. Till the storm clouds pass by, I'm going to take refuge in prayer." We are to run to God first, not to self-reliance or others. Run to Him when storm comes our way. Run to God. Seek Him. As we go through the storm, we should anchor ourselves in Scripture. Let the Word of God build us up as a weapon. Amen. Proverbs 18, verse 10 tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. May I say to you this evening that the daily habits in our calm time, when the times are calm, the daily habits, it reinforces roots for the storm. So when you have a dry season or a season where there is no storm, praise your praises. Do a lot to anchor you when the storm comes, because there's one of three places any of us can be in tonight. We can either be just coming out of a storm, we could be heading into a storm, or we could be in a storm. Those are the three positions that Christian people are in. So we are not exempt from it. We are in this thing together, and therefore, one. If you are coming out of a storm and I'm in a storm, maybe your testimony can help me to give me some roots as I go through my storm. Amen. Amen. Trust Jesus. Trust in Him that He holds your hand as you go through this storm. Trust in Him that He has a perfect grip on you. He has a solid grip on you. And He has a steady grip, and He will carry you through the fire. He will carry you through the flood. It will not overflow you. Our God is faithful, and He is able, and we are trusting Him, even in the midst of the storm, even when it seems like there is no way out. We're still going to trust Him, we're still going to praise Him. We're still going to look to Him because He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is something always on the horizon for the people of God. And it would blow your mind to know what God has in store for you. What is coming your direction is more than you can ever imagine tonight. What He has planned for you, it is to prosper you. And to give you a hope and a future. Let us hold on to God. Let us hold on to His unchanging hand. He's able. He's able. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this storm, I take refuge under your wings. Be merciful. Calm my fear as you calm the sea.
Yes, mighty
Fill
God.
me with your word. Ignite my praise and remind
Yes,
me,
Jesus.
you are my strong tower.
Thank you,
Though
Jesus.
the waters rise, they won't overflow. For you walk with me, strengthen my faith, strengthen our faith, hold us fast until peace comes. I pray for your people of God this evening. What you're going through is not subject to you alone, but is a road that all of us will take to strengthen us. As I said before, trials are not enemies of faith, but it's an opportunity to prove God's faithfulness. Walk in your victory and count it all joy when you come up with all diverse temptation and testing. Count it all joy and know for sure that you're not no bastard, but you're legitimate children of the cross. And God would have paved this way so you can pass through it and encourage each other in Christ's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I commit
Amen.
this evening service into your hand. I pray, mighty God, that you'll be with us as a people. I pray with us, pray, mighty God, that you'll strengthen your man servant as you would bring the word, as you would bring encouragement to our hearts, as you would bring your promises forth to us. I pray, mighty God, that you will rest, remain, and abide with him. I pray that our hearts will be at a good place to receive from you, mighty God. I pray that the soil will be right so that as your word is sown on it will mature and bring forth fruit. And our life, mighty God, will be a living testimony of your goodness. Mighty God, I pray that whatever would rock our ship in this day or throughout the week, whatever would cause us to derail our train in any way, I pray, mighty God, that a word will come this evening that will put us back together on the track for good again. I pray, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you will respond to all our needs according to your riches in glory. I pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon us all this evening, mighty God. And when we shall leave from this spot of ground, we will leave with a spirit of rejoicing. Release this platform in your hand even now, mighty God. Let everything that have
Yes,
breath
behind
praise
them.
your holy name, mighty
Hallelujah,
God.
Jesus.
Let the anointing, the fire of God, come
Yes,
down, mighty God,
in
and do a new
Jesus'
thing
name.
among us in this place,
Hallelujah.
mighty God. We lift our faith to you, Lord God, and we
Amen.
say, God, despite what we are going through, we're going to hold on and we're going to
Hallelujha.
listen to you, mighty God.
Thank you,
Still every
Jesus.
storm we pray, and let your name be glorified in Jesus' mighty name and for the glory
Amen.
of Almighty God. May the people of God
Amen.
say amen,
Hallelujah.
amen,
Amen. Amen.
amen.
Amen.
Rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice, rejoice,
Hallelujah.
rejoice. Whatever
Hallelujah.
the situation is, I lift it
Hallelujah.
off
God,
this
we
line.
treat them in the
Rejoice,
name of
rejoice,
Jesus.
rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Rejoice in the name
Amen.
of
Mighty
Jesus.
God.
Rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Count it all
Bless the
joy.
name of Jesus.
Count
Hallelujah.
it all joy.
Hallelujah.
Release.
Hallelujah.
Release
Jesus.
into your abundance this evening.
In the name
Release
of
into your
Jesus.
abundance.
In the name of
Thank you,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you,
Thank you,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Hear
Lord.
ye the word
Hallelujah.
of Almighty God. Just release into
Hallelujah.
abundance.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you,
Hallelujah. We're
Jesus.
a people of God, a
Hallelujah.
people that is called for to do exploits for
Yes,
God, a people that
Hallelujah,
has been redeemed,
Jesus.
a people that has been set
Thank
free.
you,
What is happening is just ashes, and we're going to shake those
Jesus.
ashes off because we
In
know that our Redeemer
the
lives, and no matter what nobody says, we know that we're climbing up the King's highway because we know
Hallelujah.
that we have a aim, we have a desire, and we know
Jesus.
that we have a heaven to glorify and a hell to shun. And so this
Jesus.
evening, no matter what storm clouds would hold you back, I pray that you will shake it off and step out by faith in Jesus' name. It's a good time to praise God. It's a good
Hallelujah.
time to
God be
bless
blessed
God.
you.
It's a good
Glory
season to give him
to
praise. A good season to pray for.
Almighty
It's
God.
a
Yes,
good
Lord. Yes,
season.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Just
Jesus.
touch
Hallelujah.
and touch the hem of his garment. It's a
Mighty
good
God,
season to
mighty
reach
Lord.
out and
Thank you,
touch the hem of his
Jesus.
garment.
Yes.
It's a good
Hallelujah. Thank you,
season for a
Jesus.
transformation. The
Hallelujah.
word of God said you have come this
Mighty
way.
God.
Too much too often you have come this cycle. Now it's time
Jesus.
to break every cycle
In
in the name
the
of Jesus.
name of
Every family curse,
Jesus.
generational curse,
Yes, come on, come on.
break it in the name of
Hallelujah. In the name
Jesus.
of Jesus.
Everything that is hanging your back
Hallelujah.
or
Yes,
attaching
Lord
itself to you, we break
Jesus.
it.
What is the name of
Jesus, Saint
Jesus?
Jesus,
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Holy Ghost,
Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost,
Thank
Holy
you,
Ghost, Holy
Jesus.
Ghost.
Amen.
Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost,
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my
I know that
Jesus.
something good is about to happen in this
Hallelujah.
place.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus,
Hallelujah.
mighty God.
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah,
God, break every chain, Lord.
Jesus,
Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus,
Break it,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We give it to you, mighty
Yes,
God.
God. Break
we
it, Lord.
lay
Break it,
every
Jesus.
burden we lay at the foot of the
Release
cross.
the fire in the name
Jesus
of
Christ
Jesus.
of Nazareth, we
Jesus.
need something more.
Hallelujah.
We need something more, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh,
Hallelujah.
Something to take us through the stormy life,
Thank
the
you,
stormy
Jesus.
clouds to break forth. And to give up the victory.
Thank you, Lord.
Have your way, mighty God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus.
Have your way.
Have your way, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Have your way, mighty God. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way. Rest upon us, mighty God. Sit on us. Sit on us this evening, mighty God. Sit on us, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Have your way,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When peace like a river attendeth my path, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Yes, it is well, Sister Hutchinson. It is well with my soul, Sister Tamaya. It is well, Sister Eva. It is well. It is well. It is well. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
hallelujah,
Jesus,
it is well,
thank you, Jesus,
Jesus, it is well, it is well,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, this time,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, feel a presence,
hey God,
I feel a presence,
the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. This time I want to hand over to our sister Camille.
Thank you,
our sister Camille.
Praise God.
Over to you, sis.
Praise God.
Glorify you,
bless
Jesus.
The Lord, oh my soul, and all
Thank
that is within
you.
Me. We bless the holy name of Jesus. I greet you well tonight, people of God. Greetings. Praise
Greetings,
God.
Camille.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. What a fitting start, you know, to a wonderful time that we anticipate in the presence of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
If there is ever a time that we're going through storms, I don't know for anybody else, but I know that that time is now. But as we were reminded tonight, we just hold on to Jesus. Amen. We hold
Amen.
On to God, and we know that He is using these storms to allow us to spread our roots, that we can remain strong in Him and be able to overcome. Bless the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. I want to use this opportunity to welcome each of you tonight to a prayer portal to Heaven Ministries International. It is very good to have you on with us tonight. We're going to be diving into a teaching, I believe, on end time prophecies. Amen. And so as we get ready for the man of God to come, I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting with us for the first time. We are happy that you chose to join us tonight. You could have been otherwise minded. And so the fact that you are here, we are grateful to have you with us. And guess what? The service just got better because you joined. Amen? Bless
Amen.
God. Praise God. So feel welcome. Feel relaxed. Open up your heart. Open up your spirit. This is a safe space to reflect, to ask questions, to connect with God, and to learn more about Him as His word comes to inspire us, to transform us, and to strengthen us. If this is your first time joining us here, I just want to just quickly introduce the leaders of this platform so that you have an idea, and just ask the leaders to just give a shout of praise. So tonight we have leading on this platform, we have Sister Nadine. Bless the Lord, Sister Nadine.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God. God.
We
Thank
also
you,
have leading with us, Sister Terry. Bless the Lord, Sister Terry.
Bless the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise
Praise
Jesus.
God. We also have Deacon Everton Scott. Deacon Scott, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Praise
Amen.
God. And we extend apologies for Elder Edwards, who is unavoidably absent tonight, but she's one of our leaders. And we also have yours truly, Sister Camille Shand. And we honor God for each of you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for making it Prayer Portal. Feel welcome. And just know that you're in Liberty Hall. So feel free to unmute at any point in time to shout a praise, to open up your spirit, and to just connect with God in an intimate way. God bless you
Yes,
tonight. I'm going to invite Sister Shanique to come forth. She will be introducing our speaker for tonight. And then right after Sister Shanique will be our dynamic speaker, the man of God. I will let Sister Shanique tell you who. God bless you. Open up your spirit. And I've had experience working, sitting under teachings from this man of God. And I will say to you, get a notepad and a pen because it is about to be refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Sister Shanique and then the man of God.
praise God.
Are you hearing me?
Yes,
Sister
Amen.
Shani, I'm hearing you.
Okay.
Bless God.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, everyone.
Hallelujah.
Bless
Bless the
the
Lord. Bless the Lord.
Lord.
Amen.
I take great pleasure in introducing our guest speaker for tonight. Adrian Granville has been walking with the Lord since the age of 12, a foundation that has shaped a lifetime of service. He currently serves at the Lancaster Church of God of Prophecy, where he holds multiple leadership roles, including men's ministry leader, care group leader, and assistant superintendent of Sunday school. He is also a dedicated member of the prayer team. Before relocation to Manchester, Jamaica, Brother Adrian also previously served as the youth pastor at Harvest Tabernacle in Kingston. He is deeply passionate about apologetics and the transformative power of the Word of God. His ministry focus is helping Christians deepen their faith by truly understanding and living the Word of God. Brother Adrian has been happily married for 15 years, and he and his faithling are the proud parents of one child. Brothers and sisters, unmute your microphone. And help
Absolutely.
me welcome the man of God, Adrian
Yes.
Granville, as he brings a word to us.
Bless
Bless
the
the
Lord.
Go ahead and give us a warm
Hallelujah.
welcome.
Bless the
Bless
Lord. Bless the Lord.
the
Bless the Lord.
Name
of
Welcome,
Jesus.
welcome,
Welcome.
Hallelujah.
You're
Welcome,
welcome.
Brother Adrian.
You're
God
welcome.
bless you.
Welcome.
Bless
Come.
the
Welcome.
Lord.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that very warm welcome. And it's indeed a pleasure to be on this platform tonight. I must greet my sister, Camille Shand, and I also see my sister, Nadine Wright.
Yes,
Yes.
praise God, good. Praise God.
So blessings, and I'm truly humbled. It's not easy, to bring the word of God. It's a very, I see it as a very big thing. But with God's grace and by God's help, I will deliver what He would have laid on my heart. Just let me know if you are seeing my screen. I
Yes,
just.
we are.
Okay, perfect.
Yes, I'm seeing it.
Perfect. So, not too long ago, my wife would have been on this same platform. And, she sends her greetings. She'll be joining on momentarily. And I just want to say thank you for inviting me. Thank you for thinking of me. This topic, when it was introduced to me, by Sister Camille, I said, Sister Camille, this is a big topic. I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. But after prayer and talking with the Lord, he gave me the green light. And so I do hope that what will be shared will educate and challenge us as believers to really look into the scriptures and be molded and be guided by it. And so end times, they're the prophecies and their fulfillment. And if you see me looking slightly this way and then back this way, it's because I have two screens. I have the presentation over here. So I'm looking at the presentation and looking at the screen. All right. So end times is major topic in Christianity, in our faith in Jesus Christ. It is the culmination of the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is the icing on the cake. It is what we are looking forward to. It is what will make it worth it. It is what will wrap up all of the trials, the tribulations, the situations, the circumstance, all things in history, from the beginning of the fall to it's coming to a head. And this head, we call it the end times. It is a topic that, as a believer in Christ, all of us would have contemplated at some point. Some people will see it as a time of anxiety when we look into one of the more popular books of the end times, which is Revelations, because of how the book is written and because of the imagery and the what's described in there. Many people have a sense of fear, a sense of woe, a sense of dread. And that sense of fear and woe and dread is only increased because not many people understand it, right? Many people would look to the end times as something that, it doesn't really occur to them. They are just living their best life now, and when Christ comes, it will be just joy unspeakable, full of glory. The half has never been told, right? So they don't really focus on that. They are living the best life now. Then there are others who are looking forward to it as a time of saying, "Even so, Lord, come. We are looking for you. We are expecting you." And that question has marked the hearts of all followers of Jesus Christ in some way, shape, or another. You will see the disciples asking Jesus. You will see many topics in the New Testament dealing with end times, as well as many topics in the Old Testament dealing with end times. And so it is a very, very controversial topic, right? I want to take us into the general definition first. A lot of times in Christendom, we call it when persons study and they look at the different things, they have these different big words that they use. So sometimes you'll hear people talk about eschatology, right? And eschatology basically sums up all that I said before about end times, right? It is the study of the conclusion of the scriptural narrative. What is all of scripture heading towards? What is the grand finale, the showdown, and the process of getting there? That is eschatology, right? And eschatology has personal or individual repercussions. What is my destiny, my final destination as a child of God? And it also has a corporate component. What is the destiny of the church? What is the destiny of the world? What is the destiny of the systems? What is the end of Satan and the demon and the devil? All of that comes under the umbrella of eschatology. And so, as mentioned before, there are some common themes that are used. The Book of Revelation is one of the primary source material for this topic of eschatology, right? And the second coming is another primary topic in this eschatology business. There's the Greek word that sometimes you'll hear people use again, big word. You know, a lot of times Christians use a big word. I wonder what they're talking about, right? So they'll say this is in the Greek and da 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 da. The second coming is the parousia, right? So when you hear people talk about parousia, that's what they're talking about. Then also, we're also going to be talking about resurrection of the dead, you know, the tribulation, the millennium, and the judgment, right? All of those topics are a part of eschatology, right? And it helps believers to understand eschatology or seek to understand it because it is how we get to appreciate God's plan. What is God's plan for the world, right? How is his plan unfolding, right? How will that unfolding, how does my redemption come into that? And how can I live my life to be a part of this, you know, purpose that God has? You know, in our church, we often use catchphrases. One of the catchphrases I love to hear, you know, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me, right? This is the season of end times. This is an eschatological season. And so we as believers must have that frame of mind when we are living our life. We're not just living for the here and now, but there is an eternal destiny to consider, and all what we are doing now will be contributing to where we will end up. All right? And so that is the general definition. When we think of end times, we think of eschatology, and these are the primary tenets of eschatology, right? Now, when we think of eschatology, there are four main thinking in Christianity, right? These four big topics are basically Christian worldviews, or how Christians in general see end times. And you know, maybe we have not thought about it before, but we would fall into one of these four categories. Right? And there are some of them that are more closer to the truth than others, but we have to just be aware of them so that when we come into contact with persons who might have certain opinions, we kind of understand where they're coming from, and we will understand how to deal with them and to talk about the scriptures with them. Right, so the first one of the four, right, the first quarter of it is called amillennialism, right? And this is general. Okay, let me just back up a little bit. So basically, how it works is that we have a series of time. We're talking about times, end times. So we look at the Bible in terms of, you know, the creation of the world, We talk about the fall of man. We talk about how the first judgment happened, God giving the law to man, right? Through the children of Israel. All of those things are periods of time in the scripture, right? And all of these periods of time is heading toward the end. Now, the end is categorized starting with the coming of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of that promised Messiah, his first coming, right? And then you will have the period up to his second coming, and then you will have a period called the millennial reign, and then the final judgment. That's the general time frame. And we have four different people, Christians looking at it in four different categories. So some persons believe that what we are reading in the Bible is symbolic, right? They believe that, Jesus Christ, after he came, right? The millennial reign and all of those things are happening symbolically, right? They don't believe that there will be any kind of rapture, right? They don't believe that some of the things that we see happening in Revelation as things to come, they believe that those things are symbolic and we're kind of going through it now, and then after that, Jesus will come again, right? You have those who take a post-millennialism kind of view, right? These also have a symbolic interpretation of a lot of the scripture, right? They are very pro-gospel. They believe in I know that Jesus has come and has resurrected. We must preach the gospel, right? And they believe that this long period after the preaching of the gospel, Jesus Christ will come again, and he will come and rescue the world. But their main focus really is on preaching the gospel, fighting the good fight of faith. What the enemy is doing now in the time that we're in, and how we can gain victory over the enemy, how we can live our best life now, how we can be successful as Christians. So post-millennialists believe that Christians will be able to advance the gospel and to reach souls for Jesus. They put more emphasis on Satan's grip of the world, etc. Right? You have the third group called the premillennialists, right? And they again, they gives a time frame here, as I'm showing. There's a time of the tribulation. Whoops, let's go back. The time of the tribulation, Christ returning, the 1,000-year reign, the final judgment, right? These last two are the two main ones that Christians believe in are
Dispensationalism.
follow. Know that they are, now that you're thinking of it, you can kind of see which kind of group you fall in based on, a lot of these messages really are not preached in church, but over time you kind of pick up the sense of what persons are saying, right? And so this is the one of the more popular views, right? They believe in a time of tribulation and apostasy. That time will occur before Jesus Christ comes, right? And then there'll be the 1,000-year reign, right? There is a bit of controversy within this group. So in the groups, you can break them out in the different categories as well. So you have people who believe that there will be a tribulation, then the rapture, then Christ comes. There are also those who believe that the tribulation will happen after the rapture. So you have some people that believe that rapture will happen first, some people believe the rapture will happen after. But we're going to go into that shortly as we dive into end times, right? And then there's the final one that we call dispensationalism. And this one is also another common view where the view is that God deals with humankind in different dispensation. You had the dispensation of perfection at the beginning, then you had the dispensation of the law, then you after Jesus came, you had the dispensation of grace, and they believe we're in the dispensation of grace right now, right? And so this kind of dispensationalist view, very common, like I said, nowadays. When you look at common at the movies and so forth, where people talk about the rapture, and you watch a movie and two people in the car, and then whoops, one person disappear out the car, and everybody's, it's these viewpoints are very exciting to look at. And we will be looking in scripture how these different viewpoints are interpreted and how we can achieve the truth of scripture in terms of what Jesus Christ wants for the church out of these different viewpoints, right? And so those are the four main ones. But I am the kind of person who likes to be brilliant at the basics. And this is a concept I've tried to live my life by, my journey with Christ. You will always have persons who are going to come to you with, these big topics, stuff that will take you time to chew on. But as a child of God, you must have a central core. Your core is Jesus Christ, your faith in him, your relationship with the Lord must be center. And that relationship must be built on your relationship with him, yes, but also the certain core factors and beliefs that cannot be shaken, because those core factors and belief are written and derived from the Word of God, right? And so being brilliant at the basics is something that I have learned to walk with the Holy Spirit through. So regardless of the big concepts and the big things that you hear and the big messages, at the end of the day, it boils down to your one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. It boils down to what the Word of God says, right? And anything that comes outside of the Word should be put to the side. If you are adventurous, you can read and look into things and try to research things, but at the core value must be your relationship with God and the firm foundation of his word. And so with all of those different things that will come to us as believers, there are some things that are true no matter what, because these things are hard-coded into the word of God, right? So people might tell you it's gonna happen this time, it's gonna happen that time, this saga happened first, that again. And you can look at those, but the core thing is that you must know that yes, there will be a tribulation, whether it happen before the rapture, after the rapture, whatever, there will be one, right? So we must keep that as a being brilliant at the basic, with when we're thinking about end times, right? So there will be a tribulation. There will be an antichrist. The Bible makes that clear. There will be a false prophet. There will be false teachers, right? The Bible makes that clear. I'm going to show you the scriptural references for those. So, as a child of God, when you're thinking about end times, we are going to be always cognizant of the fact that these things are going to happen. Other thing we will hold dear. Is that Jesus Christ is going to come again. This is the underpinning of our hope. This is what we're looking forward to with great joy and expectation. This is the culmination of all that we're going through is his second coming. So that is going to happen, right? There will be a catching away, a rapture of the believers, right? That is hard-coded in scripture. So whether it happens in one form or this form or before that or after that, we want to make sure that we are brilliant at the basics, that these core things will happen in the end times, right? Now, I'm going to just bring up this diagram here as we dive into the last two of the four factors that I mentioned in terms of those who are either looking at it dispensationally or those that are looking at it in the premillennial viewpoints. There are three main views that Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, are thinking about based on end times and the prophecies that were given to us. We talk about here the first coming of Jesus Christ, right? That is him coming incarnate, meaning coming in the flesh as a babe. Growing up, the disciples, all of that, his death on the cross, right? So we talk about the first coming of Jesus, his death on the cross, and then we start to look at now the different views that are in the church today, right? The first view up here is called the pre-tribulation view. Pre-tribulation, as the word suggests, before tribulation. This is the view that Jesus Christ is going to come again. His return is imminent, right? Meaning it can happen at any moment, right? And he will come and rapture the church. This rapturing of the church is going to be then followed by a period of great tribulation on the earth, right? And based on biblical reference, persons see it as a 7-year period after the rapture of the church. There will be a 7-year period of great tribulation as described in Daniel. You'll also see references of it in Matthew and Matthew 24, Daniel 9, also in Revelations. And then after that, then Jesus Christ will come again with the saints. He's going to bind up Satan, cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's also going to destroy the beast, the false prophet, etc., and set up his 1,000-year kingdom. And then, after the 1,000-year kingdom, called the millennium, then there will be the final judgment because after the 1,000 years, Satan will be released. And even though Jesus Christ would have been ruling and reigning with the saints, and there would be a 1,000-year period of great peace and prosperity, as Satan come back out, you have some people who are going to follow Satan, right? And there are many questions that arise out of that. But after that, there is going to be the final judgment after God, Jesus Christ destroys Satan. And then all of the saints will be with him in eternity. There is the mid-tribulation view, right? The mid-tribulation view takes the same path as the pre-tribulation view, except that the church or the Christians will go through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, and then at that midpoint, Jesus is going to rapture the church, right? And then after that, it follows the same pattern as the pre-tribulation view. So the only difference between this one and this one is that the church here is raptured before the tribulation. This one, the church is raptured in the middle of the tribulation, right? And then the last view is called the post-tribulation view. And this one says that the church will go through the 7-year period of tribulation. And then the second coming and the rapture are the same event. So Jesus coming the second time and the rapture of the church will happen at the same time. Then it will usher in the millennial period, and then the rest follows the same pattern, right? So in the first two, you might be wondering, okay, what's going to happen with the church while the tribulation is going on? The general view of that is that we will be with the Lord in heaven. Many have the view that that will be the time of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then after that, the church will return to earth with the Lord Jesus Christ, to rule and reign with him in the millennium, right? Now, this is where things get scary for some Christians, because some are of the view that one, we're going to have the pre-tribulation, meaning the church will be spared the tribulation. We will not go through stuff like the mark of the beast, the false prophet, all the different signs and terrible things that will happen on the earth. The church will be spared that. The second view is that the church will get some of it, but we will be taken out before the more egregious forms of it. And then the third view is that the church will go through it. It is going to be a time of refining and defining, right? Refining in that those who are followers of Christ will be refined. Those who are pretending to be followers, but are not, will be defined by a great falling away. The scriptures speak of the church being, as we're going through the tribulation, we will be covered and ushered through it by the Lord. Some of the things we will not experience because we will be divinely shielded. Other things we will go through, such as the very deep persecutions and so forth. The two views up here maintain that after the church is raptured, that people will get saved during the tribulation time, and so some of the believers will will come to knowledge of Jesus Christ during that time, right? So it's not a time where it's like just hell on earth and nothing good is happening. Persons will come and get saved. Other view, the final view is that all will be going through it. Some will get saved in it. Some who thought they were saved will drop off of the bandwagon in it. But at the end of it, Jesus Christ is coming for his victorious church. So it is a very, very challenging thing to think about because we have been taught different views on it. And so you will talk to Christians and a majority, I believe, based on what I've seen, particularly in about the Western side of the culture, the American church, even our church here in Jamaica, and mainly Western type churches have a pre-tribulation type view. Those who are in the other side of the world, the Africas, the Asias, where there are a lot more persecution, you tend to find them gravitating more toward the mid-trib and the post-trib view. So it's a very, very interesting topic to think about, and I'm going to give some scenarios of why people believe those things. And I will give I when I'm doing topics like this, I don't want to tell people what to believe. My main thing is for us to get brilliant at the basics and to be always prepared and ready for whatever comes, because you will always have Bible teachers who are going to be telling you this or that, but if you as a child of God, you're not rooted and grounded again in your personal relationship with the Lord, in the word of the Lord, there are things that will come and switch you off course, right? And so you have to be brilliant at the basics, okay? And so we look at some of the key scriptures that were given when we're talking about the end times and the end time prophecies, right? We look at Daniel, right? Daniel chapter 9. Is under the context of Daniel getting the vision from the Lord and getting the revelation from the Lord, particularly what is going to be happening with his people, the Israelites, but it also has implications and impact on wider end time prophecies, right? And so in this passage of scripture is where we got that 7 year period of tribulation primarily from, but it's also backed up in other areas of scripture. So, like in Revelation, you will see Revelation chapter 6 talking about a 7 year period as well. So, a lot of the times when you want to understand biblical prophecies and how they unfold, you will find scriptures that will give you deeper interpretation of scriptures, as well as scriptures that will foreshadow something that will also happen again in a more real sense, right? And so one of the things that was described in Daniel chapter 9 is the coming of this Antichrist figure. This Antichrist figure who is going to for 7 years engage with the people of Israel, right? The first 3.5 years, it will be like he's a, a friend and an ally, right? But then after 3.5 years, he's gonna break the covenant and he's gonna set up some terrible things and do some very controversial things to the people of Israel. We see where this scripture was partially fulfilled. The abomination of desolation. When we look in AD, da, 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 when was it? There was this Roman leader, this Roman emperor, who claimed to be Epiphanes, right? He set up, he went into the temple. I think it was in the year 168 or so. He went into the temple, set up himself to be God, offered pigs in the temple. You know, so Jews no deal with pig and all that. And based on the sacking of Israel that took place at that time, you can see that he was somewhat of a partial fulfillment of that prophecy. However, the prophecy is going to come back again because Revelation describes it. And this Antichrist figure is going to be a more full expression of what will happen because not only will he impact the Jews, but he will impact the entire world, right? One of the things that I want to drive at, though, being very mindful of time, is what Jesus Christ himself says about the end times. I am a type of person who I like to read the scripture and go through it line by line. But I know it can kind of be long and difficult for some folks. And so I'll try and condense it. And then I will give an explanation of what I believe and why I believe it, and not telling you what to believe, but pointing you to the scripture to search it out for yourself. And so this scripture, Matthew 24, it's also mirrored in the book of Luke 21. So Matthew 24 and Luke 21 speak about this conversation that Jesus had with his disciples when he was directly asked, what they said, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So the words of Jesus for me hold tremendous weight, and so I follow what he says, because the disciples asked him this direct question, in three parts. And so Jesus is actually addressing the question in a threefold manner. He's addressing when shall these things be? Right? Because they were admiring the temple and its splendor. And Jesus said, there's going to come a time when there's not going to be one stone left upon another. And this really troubled them. And so they asked, so when shall these things be? What are going to be the signs of your coming and the signs of the end of the world? Right? And so the first thing that Jesus said to them, and I'm so in love with Jesus because, the more I get to know him and, understand him through his word and through my personal walk with him, I get to understand his personality. Jesus is a very direct person. He is a very straight shooter, straight to the point. He doesn't banter or beat around the bush. He engages you at the point of your need and deals with you and pulls out the core of what you're asking based on whatever rigmarole question you're asking. I'll give you some examples. Nicodemus came to him by night, and he started to tell him, "Oh, I know you, we know you're a teacher sent by God, because nobody can do these things except he's sent by God." Jesus didn't say, "A true Nicodemus, a real thing you talk." No, he went straight to the point. He said, "You must be born again." Right? Straight to the point. And he said that to pull out from Nicodemus the core of what Nicodemus really wanted to know and how he wanted to interact with him. Same with the rich young ruler. What must I do to be saved? You know the scriptures, do this, do this, do that. All these I've done since from my youth. One thing you lack. Sell all you have, give to the poor, then come and follow me. Jesus goes straight to the point. And so
Amen.
his first thing that he says here is very, very telling. And if there's one thing I want us to remember from this discussion, is that the end times will be a time of great deception. So the first thing Jesus said to them is, "Be careful that nobody deceives
Receive
you."
you.
There's going to be so many things that will look like Jesus, look like the truth, look like it's going the right way, but the end of it is not. Because it is not based on what we can be brilliant at, which is the basics, which is what we see in the word. I'm going to give a contemporary example right here. Last year, there was this man who came around the scene. I'm trying to remember his name. Don't remember his name right now. He was very sincere, but he came out and said, "There will be no rap, there will be no World Cup in 2026," because he got a vision. Jesus said by September in 2025 there will be the rapture. And it caused quite a stir. Some of us might be hearing that for the first time, but me like them something, enough up in them something, so I kind of follow them thing here closely. And he was so sincere and genuine that, even I myself was like, "Oh, I have to fix up, I have to get myself right and ready, because, the rapture and the second coming." But when September passed and it not happened, him kind of come out again and say it's gonna happen in October. It not happened, and then he kind of just faded into the ether, right? It's, and I don't get the sense that a lot of people, when it comes to deception, we often think that people are coming with nefarious intentions at times, and many times they are. But you have some people who genuinely believe what they believe, and they will wholeheartedly sell it to you. And unless you are brilliant at the basics in knowing the word of God, then you will get deceived, you will get sidetracked by these things. And so one of the first things Jesus said is, "Take heed that no man deceive you," right? And he went on to talk about the different signs that will be happening. Many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Christ, I am Christ," and deceive many. And we've seen that before, and it's going to come again in ever increasing intensity. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, right? Jesus wants us to be prepared. One of the things Jesus is gearing up us as Christians when we think about end times: do not be deceived, one. And two, one of the other things that Jesus always tells us as Christians: fear not. One of the things that Jesus always, when he sends his messengers to you, when he is giving you a word, when you see it in scripture, do not be afraid, fear not, take heart, be bold, be courageous. Jesus wants his people not to operate in fear, but in power, love, and sound mind. And so you're going to be hearing of wars, rumors of wars, right? You're going to be hearing of things are happening, and people are going to come and say, ah, oh, end time, no, end time. And it's like, oh, you know, don't be afraid. You are going to hear of these things, but the end is not yet, right? These things must come to pass. The end is not yet. You're going to have, different nations rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines and pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. Some of these are happening now, but in the tribulation, it's going to happen in ever increasing measure, right? Jesus says these things are just the beginning, right? So it's almost like a scenery of somebody, you know, for the women who are online, who have gone through the whole throngs of pregnancy. You know, you have conception, and then you have the different things, the morning sickness, the bad feeling, you know. Then you have a kind of period when you kind of feel nice and good and energetic, and then you start to have another period of all of this goes down until you get to the birthing pains and cramps, and you know, until the final delivery. So that's the kind of scenery we're getting from Jesus Christ, that it's a progression of things, but we must be aware of them. We must be not deceived during it, and we must be operating from a space of not fear, but a space of confidence in Jesus Christ, right? So we go through and we see the other things that will happen, right? They're gonna be coming a time where Christians are going to be falling away. People are going to be afflicted. Christians are going to be killed. The disciples would have experienced some of that. One of the things about prophecy is that prophecy foreshadows, and it also would also have implication for the end times. So a lot of the times you will see a foreshadowing, a type of what's happening, and it also kind of points to what will happen in the end. So yes, Christians in the time soon after this writing took place would have experienced this, but it's going to happen to Christians again, right? Many shall be offended, they will betray one another, they will hate one another, right? False prophets will arise and deceive many, right? But as followers of Jesus Christ who hold fast to the truth, we will not be caught up in this one, right? Iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Mankind's heart is going to get tougher and tougher and tougher, right? All of that is going to happen, but Jesus Christ promised that those that endure unto the end will be saved.
Safe.
The gospel is going to be preached, right? And so, again, the good, the bad, and the ugly. During the time of all of this will be a evangelistic thrust. The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then shall the end come, right? And so I see this saying of Jesus. Remember, the apostles ask him kind of a question in three parts. He kind of identifies a summary of the end times, what will happen here. And then he kind of talks about stuff that will happen in a more contemporary sense to the disciples. And so he went on to speak now about the abomination of desolation, right? Spoken of about in Daniel, and I already gave an exposition of Epiphanes. I still remember that Roman guy's name. His last name was Epiphanes. He gave he gave himself the title Epiphanes because, you know, Epiphany is a term in Christendom we use to describe a messianic figure. So he was kind of putting up himself to be a sort of messianic figure. And he came and did a lot of terrible things to the Jews and to their temple. So this happened, but again, the Antichrist will also do that in the last days, right? The tribulation that happened to the Jews in that time, this is what he was talking about here, where the people who had to be fleeing, they had to leave their houses, they had to not turn back, pray for your flight not to be in the winter, etc. Right? And so this part addressed the other section of what the disciples asked. And then he went back now into talking about the end of the world or the end times. And so, verse 21, he started talking about it again. And so, he talks about the great tribulation,
Tribulation.
right? And so, this tribulation is something that the world has never seen before and never will see again, right? And so great is that tribulation that if those days are not shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened, right? Again, he spoke about the same thing he spoke about here. He emphasized it again here. So he spoke of it here in verse 5. And he came back here and emphasized it again. So again, the topic of deception comes up again because so great will be the work of the Antichrist and the false prophet that will kind of turn people into following and getting the mark of the beast that if you are not careful, even Christians who are not careful can be taken up in it. So he is speaking to us and saying, be very wary, right? Anybody is saying that here is Christ, there is Christ, believe it not. Talks about the rise of the false Christ, the false prophets, and these people will be backing up their works with signs and wonders, right? But because we are the elect, if it were possible, they will deceive us. But because we're brilliant at the basics, we will not be deceived. Again, he emphasized, behold, I've told you before, right? So if anybody is telling you that there's going to be some secret happening, or Jesus Christ is going to be over there, or there's some quiet thing happening with Jesus. No. Don't follow anybody who's saying the coming of Jesus Christ is going to be a big event, right? So anybody who's trying to tell you about some secret thing there, go over there, go, no, don't follow them, right? Behold, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Meaning, when lightning flash and thunder roll, everybody hear it. I heard some breed of thunder one time. I tell you, when the lightning flash and you jerk, the place bright up. If at night time, the place bright up when lightning flash, okay? So shall the return of the Son of Man be, right? Wherever the carcass is, there is where the eagles will be gathered together, right? And it talks about what will happen after the tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will darken, the moon will not give her light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of heaven will be shaken, and then will the Lord come. Right, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Right, everybody will see. All the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see Jesus Christ coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Right, and after that, he shall send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, right? And I will pause there because this is a very, very heavy topic. And I want to kind of get to the culmination of my belief system on this thing. And again, I encourage the believers to read the word, because one of the things about being brilliant at the basics is that sometimes we take certain things and we put them up on a pedestal when they are not detrimental to salvation. What do I mean by that? Whether a person believes in the pre-tribulation or the mid-tribulation or the post-tribulation, if they're a child of God, they will be saved. If they endure to the end, they will be saved. So, whereas some things are core to salvation, other things are not, right? So, some person will say, but as some person wear cream here, or they wear hat, or women wear pants. You know, certain things are not core to salvation. They are doctrines of men, or they're just not core to salvation. That's what I mean when I say be brilliant at the basics. And so when I say what I believe, and I encourage believers to read the scriptures, I want you to get your own grip on Jesus Christ for yourself, and search the scriptures. I started out, and for the most of my Christian journey, I believed in the pre-tribulation rapture. That is what was commonly taught. In the rare occasions when this thing was taught, that is what was commonly taught, and many Christians today believe in that scripture because they read some scriptures and it does say that the Lord, you are not committed to wrath, right? And such like. And I want to be very scriptural, so I'm going to give some of those scriptural references, right? Let me pull up back the PowerPoint so we are looking at what we are looking at. Okay, good. So, those who believe this, they are of the view that the Lord will not allow his bride to go through the tribulation. And it is a comforting fact for many because they get the sense that the Lord will deliver them from the wrath to come, right? The definition of the wrath to come is it's defined in Revelation. It talks about how Satan will be unleashed on the world, so to speak, and then the Lord's wrath on the earth takes over at the last part, right? And so they're of the belief that the Lord's wrath, we will not go through that, right? Here is one of the reasons why persons also believe that. Okay, so the Bible talks about only one second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at the words of Jesus Christ himself, we get the clear indication that he is not preparing the believers and the Christians for a time where they will escape what is to come, but he's preparing them with the tools to be able to endure. His words directly are speaking to a time where this is what's going to be facing you as my believers, but I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to fear. He also made it clear that it's not a case where it's going to be a silent thing, meaning I am not going to be driving in the car and then all of a sudden my wife is taken and then me one left in the car, or the pilot is a Christian and all of a sudden he's taken away and then the plane is going to fall out of the sky. We often get those imagery, and this kind of alludes to like a sort of quiet snatching away, where it is kind of, you go to bed and then you wake up and then, one tenth or a half or a quarter of the population of the world is gone and everybody's confused. But the way Jesus Christ speaks of it, it clearly states that his coming is going to be seen and noticed by everyone, right? And that his sign will appear in the air, right? He will come in power and glory after all of these bad things have happened. And then when he comes is when he will gather his elect, right? From the four corners of the earth. So the in the post-tribulation view, as opposed to the pre-tribulation view, the second coming of the Lord and the rapture happen at the same time. Jesus comes in glory, the trumpet is blown, the world sees him. The Christians who have gone through the tribulation will be caught up, changed, transformed at that time. Those who died in Christ will be resurrected, and all will be caught up to meet him in the air, and then he returns, right? The pre-tribulation view, has the sense that Christians will escape the tribulation. We will be in heaven, and then on earth, all the bad things will be happening. But the reason why I want us to kind of juxtapose those two views against one another is that if it's the case where the post-tribulation view is actually the correct view and not the pre-tribulation, you will have many Christians who, when things are happening like the false prophet and the beast and the Antichrist is being revealed, they're gonna say, okay, well, based on my understanding of eschatology, I am not raptured yet, so that means then that is this person who is coming may not be the deceiver that the Bible is talking about. And so, in that regard, some of them may get deceived because they are looking forward to be raptured. The rapture hasn't come yet. And so, these people coming in with these worldly systems to kind of introduce some kind of mark or whatever, you know, because the rapture hasn't taken place yet. That means then that, you know, I can probably take this thing or engage in that or be a part of this system, and I'm just being wise, and I have not taken the chip in my right hand. I took it in my left hand. So because I'm not raptured yet and I know I'm a child of God, you know, that means then that, but it could be that there's going to be a time of tribulation before the rapture, based on what we're seeing from scripture. And there are other scriptures to go into. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52, very prime scripture about the rapture that we should study. Also, the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 to 17, very prime scripture about the rapture, right? But the Bible only talks about one second coming. And so we should not take the view. I'll encourage us to study the scripture, pre-tribulation is telling us that, hey, Christ is gonna come in the air. Not going to come on earth. He's going to come in the air, rapture the church, then go for 7 years, and then come back after the 7 years. But that would kind of look like it's more than one second coming. But the Bible only tells us about one second coming, right? The aim of Jesus Christ is to prepare for himself a glorified church, a glorious church. One that has come through the tribulation. They have washed their garments. They have been refined and defined and have come out as pure gold. And so, whether you take the pre or the post, what I want us to aim at is to have a solid foundation, a solid groundedness in the Word of God. That when we see the signs, we are aware of them. When we see certain things happening, we will be aware of the signs, and we'll get ourselves together, our act together, be ready at any time, right? Because the life of a believer is one of alertness, being sober, being vigilant, right? Not being like the four foolish virgins, but the four wise ones, right? And so I'm just gonna read some scriptures here, in terms of the second coming. I quoted 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. This talks about the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. So again, the rapture is not something that will happen secretly. It's going to be loud. Everybody's gonna see it. It talks about the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive at the time, they will be caught up to meet with God, Jesus Christ, in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. The premillennial interpretation, the pre-rapture rather interpretation of that is that we will, when it says we will be with the Lord, it means we're going to go to heaven with him and then come back after 7 years. But the post-trib says the rapture and the second coming are the same event. So we're going to go up to meet him in the air. And the word that I used earlier, I'm going to go back to one of the big words, called the parousia. This is what is termed as that second coming event. And based on the word that was used, That is why I more lean toward the post-tribulation view. Meaning, the interpretation is that whenever a king is returning triumphantly, when a king or some official is returning, the custom of the time was that those persons who are the emissaries of the king will go out to meet the king and then escort the king back into the city, right? And that's why that word, when it talks about the second coming, the rapture, the parousia, right? That's the term that was used by the Apostle Paul and all of the writers. So it gives the inclination that we're going out to meet the Lord, and then we're coming back with him, ushering him into his triumphant victory, right? And so that is what it's saying there. Again, the 1 Corinthians 15:51. And be very mindful of time. I can go on and on, I tell you, but I'm coming down, as they say in Jamaica. I'm coming down. So, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed, right? One of the things I love when I'm reading scripture, I look at all the words. So it says this is at the last trumpet. That means that there are going to be some trumpets before this trumpet, right? And when we read the book of Revelations, we see what the first, second, third, up to the seventh trumpet talks about. And those trumpets are happening during the time of tribulation, right? And so this again is another verse that intimates that us as believers, we will go through the tribulation period. At the fifth trumpet, the fifth outpouring of the bowl of wrath, it talks about how the bottomless pit will be open and these hideous creatures will be released to torment man, and man would want to die and they can't die. But the scripture tells us clearly in that passage that those creatures are only given instructions to harm all the persons who do not have the mark of God. Right? So you're going to have people who have the mark of the beast in the tribulation, and you're going to have people who have the mark of God. So just like the plagues in Egypt, again, a lot of scripture foreshadows other scriptures. So you have the plagues that would affect Egypt, but the children of God in Goshen are divinely spared or protected, or even though they go through some of the implications, that there is clearly a covering and a deliverance out of it at the end of all of those things, right? So in my closing, I want to just say that the tribulation time, the end times, the wars, the rumors of wars, and all of the things that are being spoken about in scripture for end times. It's not a call for worry or fear or concern for the child of God, like woe is me, but it's something to look forward to. Again, end times and eschatology, this is God making a final end and resolution to the problem of sin, Satan, all of the sickness, all of the things that came into the world as a result of the fall and sin. It's a time to look forward to. And as a child of God, if we are around at that time, it's not something to fear, or to say that we are going to take a sort of escapist type of view of it, or it's not a time to be looking at the life of a child of God, to be living our best life now, even though, yes, we will experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God is always calling on us. Jesus is always calling on us to be very aware, be sober, be vigilant, be watchful. When he repeats certain things, it's for us to take heed of it. Don't be afraid, but be watchful. Don't be alarmed. You will see things happening, but those some things are just the growing pains and the birth pangs. The end is not quite yet, but he gives the clear signs of the things that we will see when the end is coming, and we must be prepared for them. And one thing we are always confident of as children of God, is that he will never leave us, never forsake us. Our hope is in him. And whether we have the mid or the pre or the post view, we must be very brilliant at the basics, be solid in the Lord, that come hell or high water, whatever comes, what may, we are willing and ready to be with the Lord, to go with the Lord, and to do what he asks us to do in uncompromising faith. Many things I didn't get to go into, the false prophet, the beast, all of these things. Enough of them think there with this end times. But I wanted to just make sure we get the core of what it's all about, and basically an understanding generally of what eschatology is and the end times, so that when we are reading scriptures, we will be aware of what is being said out there and aware of what the Lord is saying to us and how to compare the two and where we will fall in line with that. So, with that said, thank you so much for listening and following along. And I am really looking forward to the time when we will meet with each other, not on the platform, but we will meet together in the air with our Lord, and we will rule and reign with him, where we will enjoy eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
What a mouthful tonight, people of God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. I am full, so full that I think I'll have to go back to the recording and just listen. I see somebody put in the chat part two, and I endorse it. I endorse it, Sister Allison. I'd love to hear about, the points he mentioned, the false prophet. I would love to hear about it, Brother Adrian. So please consider, part two in Jesus' name. But it was
Amen.
really a fulfilling night. Amen, people of God.
Amen.
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 You were,
Amen.
I could tell that you were taking notes. You were just listening. You were just so engaged. And I just bless the Lord. I bless the Lord for you, Brother Adrian, for availing yourself and for allowing the Holy Spirit to put you on like a glove and just coming here and enlightening us. I am enlightened, and I'm really going to be digging deeper. It's like you spark a fire inside of me, and I just want to know more. I just said to myself, I'm going to read Revelations from front to back, and go through just to be more aware. But it was a lot of things that were mentioned. I took some notes, and what really stands out for me tonight is just being brilliant at the basics. Amen. And he would have talked about basics, being, being having a sound footing in the word of God. And if ever at all that is going to happen, we have to be intentional about taking up the Bible, about spending time in the presence of the Lord. We're living in a world where the distractions are many.
The enemy will try to steal that time away from us. And so we must be intentional in taking up the word of God, reading it, asking God to unfold our understanding that we will understand what is read and teach us how to apply it to our lives. So being brilliant at the basic, having that sound footing, knowing that regardless of the order in which it is presented, whether final judgment or rapture or tribulation first, it doesn't matter the order. Just knowing what the scripture says, knowing what Jesus said in his word. And that is a charge to us. That is a challenge to us tonight, believers, to go into the word, reading it, knowing it, so that we are not deceived. Because he would have said, end time will be a time of deception. The enemy is very subtle, and he will, if you know what deception is, it's something that
Antichrist.
looks like the real thing. If it's not for the discernment that we have through the Holy Spirit, then we're not able to discern that something is
False
not right.
prophet.
And in order to discern, we need to, what are we going to discern it against? We need to know the word of God. So when we read the word of God, have that sound knowledge, and we see it unfolding, then we're able to say, no, the word of God says this, So even though it looks this way, this is what the word of God says. So it's really a call for us, growing up, and even in my Christian journey, my younger years in the faith, I used to be so afraid. Used to be so afraid when I hear about end time prophecies. Let me say, Lord Jesus, I used to be scared. I don't know about anybody else, but as Brother Adrian would have shared, it's not for us to be afraid. God is just preparing us. He's saying, listen, my children, this is what you should expect. So go ahead and read the word, be knowledgeable about it. So when it happens, you can see that, yes, it is beginning to unfold. Read the word so that you are not misled. Because we can be misled. The Bible talks about false prophets. And if we don't have that sound knowledge in the word, we're going to be misled. But I'm going to stop there because I don't want to start preaching. But it was a very good word, Brother Adrian, very refreshing. And like I said, it stirred up a fire within me. And so I don't know about you, but I'm challenging you. Let's go on a quest to read the word of God. Amen. Amen, people of God.
Amen.
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 God. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Praise God. And so we're going to lift up Brother Adrian right now in prayer as we go into, the final prayer and our closing remarks and all of that. I just asked you to unmute your microphones as you're led, and let us just lift up the man of God and place him at the foot of the cross tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Righteous God and our Father, our friend, we
Yes,
thank you, Lord
God.
God Almighty, for who you are.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord God Almighty, for being in the midst of us
Jesus.
tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your presence, Lord God
Yes,
Almighty,
Lord.
that came to usher us into a full course meal. We thank you
Hallelujah.
tonight, Lord God Almighty, that our appetites are wet. And
Hallelujah.
even though we would have eaten so much from your word, we are
Yes,
still
Lord.
hungry for more. And so I thank you, Lord God, tonight for your son, the man of God,
Hallelujah.
Brother Adrian Granville, whom you have
Yes,
equipped,
mighty God.
mighty God, and you have led, oh God Almighty, to lead
Hallelujah,
us
Jesus.
into this Bible study with such
Thank you,
depth,
Jesus.
such
Mighty God.
knowledge, mighty God, with a great understanding, we're able to leave, oh God
Peace and
Almighty, and to
passion,
search the
Lord.
scriptures, oh God, to see
Hallelujah,
what you have
mighty
said.
God.
We are
Thank you,
inspired tonight, Lord,
Jesus.
and we know that
Yes,
it is through
Lord.
your Holy Spirit, it is through your work, Lord God Almighty, that this inspiration, this
Mighty God.
birth. So, God Almighty,
Yes,
as I
Lord.
place your manservant before you
Jesus,
tonight,
my
I
comforter,
pray
mighty
in the name of
God.
Jesus that you will
Oh,
clothe him with
Jesus.
a robe of cassia. Let it
Mighty
rest
God.
upon him, mighty God. Let
Jesus.
it, oh God, cover his
Yes,
back
mighty
in
God.
the
Cover
mighty
him,
name
Lord. Cover
of
his
Jesus
family.
Christ. Let the fire of
Hallelujah.
God right now, oh God Almighty,
Mighty God.
begin to burn, oh, from the
Yes,
crown of his
Lord.
head to the very sole
Mighty
of his
God,
feet. Let
Jesus.
it be ignited around him, round
Oh
about
God,
him, in the
Jesus.
name of
In
of Jesus Christ, as he has come, Lord God, and presented your word, edifying the body of Christ. We know the enemy
oh
is
God,
mad, but as we give your tongue to him, Lord God, we pray that you will cover him comprehensively under your blood tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we come against any backlash or reprisal, mighty God, that the enemy will want to set up against him. In Jesus' name, we pray that your word, the word of God, right now will arise and become a fortified wall of protection around this man of God.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus, we summon God Almighty in the heavens that angels will come with drawn sword, flaming towards God. Oh God, to have a Holy Ghost curfew around his house, around his family. In the name of Jesus, I cover his daughter, I cover his wife, I cover his mother, I cover his siblings, every person that is associated with Brother Adrian right now is covered, is wrapped around with Psalm 91. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we declare, mighty God, we speak confusion into the camp of the enemy, declare we have no sense of direction to this man of God's house. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father, we pray that you will pour into him all that he has poured out, and continue, God Almighty, to hold him and to pull him up as he elevates in the spirit. May his knowledge span begin to expand in the name of Jesus Christ, mighty God. May you continue to feed him as he operates in the gift of teaching. I pray, God Almighty, that you will lead him to a place where he will experience the full manifestation of your power through this gift in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that his spiritual senses tonight, oh God, will be brought to a new dimension in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, God, that every clutter that would want to interfere, oh God Almighty, with the connection, the divine connection that you have with your son will be cleared in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will pour out, mighty God, upon your son a brand new fresh anointing with a fresh fire. Oh God, like Jeremiah, he will declare, I feel like the fire is shut up in my bones. I pray, God Almighty,
oh Jesus, oh Jesus, coverage, mighty
God. God, like
coverage,
Jabez, that you will bless him,
hallelujah,
that you will enlarge his territories,
hallelujah,
mighty God, and the enemy may not come up against him.
In
in the name of
Jesus
Christ, I pray, God Almighty, that like Aaron's rod,
bless,
your son, God
God
Almighty, will be brought into a
God
season where he will blossom
hallelujah
and bloom and bear fruit, oh God, for you.
Yes,
in the name of
edible
Jesus Christ,
oh
I pray, God, that you will expose,
yes,
oh God, around him every core of spirit that may want to throw this part against him, may want to throw this part in his ministry. Let it be exposed. Lord God Almighty, you spoke to Moses and you told him, Jesus Christ, to call the people back. Ah, mighty God, that Korah, oh God, and the other two that were that spoke against the man of God will be swallowed into the earth. Let the earth be open and take them in and be closed, and they will be buried alive. We pray, God Almighty, against every force that may want to work against your son, that the earth will be open and they will be buried alive. Every demonic force, every diabolical force in operation against your son, Jesus Christ, will be open, will be taken into the earth, to be cut into dry places in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will be his shield. I pray that you will be his buckler. I pray that you will be his hiding place, the strong tower that he can run into and feel safe, that fortified wall of protection around your son. In the name of Jesus Christ, cover him under your blood. Cover him under
Yes,
the
Lord.
blood.
Yes,
Cover him
Lord.
under
God,
the
your
blood.
anointing,
I
Lord.
pray for
Divine
strength.
coverage,
I pray for
Jesus.
perseverance. I pray
Thank
for
you,
endurance. I pray
Lord.
that you will visit
Thank
his
you,
job. I pray declaring the divine order on the job in the name of
Name
Jesus
of
Christ of Nazareth.
Jesus.
I pray, mighty God, that any area of his life that is
Yes,
a spirit that is
Jesus.
out of
Yes, Lord.
alignment, you will bring back into
Yes,
alignment with
Lord.
your divine plan
Mighty
for his
God.
life,
Yes,
the
Lord.
divine blueprint.
Jesus.
Take the pen, Almighty God. Write his
Jesus.
story, God Almighty. The way that
Oh, Jesus.
created, the way that
Yes, Lord.
chiseled out his
God.
destiny. Oh God, may he walk in that path, continue to walk in that path in
Jesus,
the name of
Jesus,
Jesus Christ of
Jesus.
Nazareth. Continue to
Thank
pour your
you,
wisdom into your son.
Lord. Thank you,
Continue to
Lord.
pour
Thank you.
discernment into him that it may be
Thank
heightened, that he may
you.
operate in new dimensions. Oh God, I'm the
Hallelujah.
season. I am declaring a new season over your
Yes,
son
Lord. Yes,
today
Lord.
in the name of Jesus
Oh,
Christ, a
Jesus.
season of abundance,
Hallelujah.
a season where there's no lack, a season, mighty God, where he will go from strength to strength,
Yes,
from
Lord.
dimension to
Oh,
dimension,
Jesus.
from
Yes,
level to
Lord.
level, in the name of Jesus. A new
Jesus
season.
Christ of
Behold,
Nazareth.
mighty God, you
Thank you,
are doing a
Jesus.
new
New
thing.
thing.
All
Yes,
things are
Lord.
passed away.
Hallelujah.
Behold, God
New
Almighty,
thing. New
everything
thing. New
concerning your
thing.
son
New
is
thing,
made
mighty
new.
God.
We
New
thank you
thing,
for this shift.
Jesus.
We thank you for
Thank you,
alignment. We
Jesus.
thank you, mighty
Thank you,
God.
Lord.
Hallelujah, for your presence in his
Thank
life.
you,
May he
Jesus.
continue to be a light, oh
Thank
God
you,
Almighty, to
Jesus.
those
Yes,
around
Lord.
him. May he
Yes, Lord.
continue to be impactful and to
Thank you,
pull others to you with his
Jesus.
lifestyle in the name of
Name of
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Show up in his life tonight, God, in an
Yes, Lord.
unusual way,
Yes,
uncommon way,
Lord.
and let there be a testimony, oh God
Thank
Almighty,
you,
attached,
Jesus.
oh God, to
Coverage,
coming,
Lord.
to walking in obedience and to
Jesus.
edifying your people of prayer
Oh,
portal in
Jesus.
Jesus' name. We arise and call him blessed tonight, God. And we give
Yes,
you
Lord.
glory
Bless,
and
bless,
honor
bless,
and
mighty God.
praise. Hallelujah. For tonight's
Jesus.
session and for
Bless,
your
Lord.
manservant.
Bless,
We give
bless,
you thanks
bless,
tonight in the
thank
name
you,
of
Lord.
Jesus.
Thank
As
you,
you're about to go,
Jesus.
Lord God, I
Jesus.
pray that the word will rest in our
Yes,
hearts, be
Lord.
brilliant at the
Yes,
basics.
mighty
Help us
God.
to understand, Lord. We don't have to be
Mighty
caught
God,
up in the
Jesus,
controversy of the
Jesus.
world. But if we, oh God
Oh
Almighty, aim
God,
to
oh
be
God.
brilliant at the basics, knowing your
Yes,
wisdom,
Lord.
reading your word, understanding your
Thank you,
word, and applying
Jesus.
it to our lives, then that will get us into a state of readiness. So that, Lord, on your
Thank you,
second coming,
Jesus.
regardless of the order of events, but we know you will come. When you come,
Yes,
Almighty
Lord.
God, we will be ready in the
Ready.
name of
Name
Jesus
of
Christ. Help
Jesus.
us, Lord God, to keep oil in our lamps, oh God, and to have fear
Hallelujah.
that we may
Keep
never run dry like the five
burning.
foolish virgins in
Oh
the
God,
name of
keep it
Jesus
burning,
Christ. Take charge of
Jesus.
us tonight, Lord. Lead us, God Almighty,
Oh
into a life
Jesus,
of
lead, Lord.
consecration, oh God Almighty, that we will be
Mighty
able to
God,
fully
mighty God.
prepare for
Keep
you. May we not be
rewarding.
afraid, oh God Almighty, of the fulfillment of your word, but may we use it as an
Thank you,
opportunity to take
Jesus.
heed and to say, yes, I will align myself, I will align my life to the will of God through his word in the name of Jesus. Bless us tonight, God. And as we depart one from another, I pray for your covering over each of us. Shelter us in your loving arms tonight, God, as we tell you thanks in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank
Hallelujah.
you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Thank you,
mighty God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Praise
Jesus.
God.
Thank you,
Praise God.
Jesus.
What a night. What a night. What a night.
Jesus.
To God be the glory. To God be all the glory. Great things he continues to do. Thank you so, so much again, Brother Adrian. God bless you. It was a pleasure having you here at Prayer Portal. And we know that the Lord will have you to return to us another time. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before you go, people of God, just a few reminders as we get ready to take our leave. I want to invite you out and just remind you that this Saturday we will have our Bible study with our partner ministry, the Faith Defender Bible Study Group. They will be having Bible study this and every Saturday at 8 p.m. It's a good thing going on. It's a wonderful time in God's presence. The word of God is sweet, Praise God. And so I invite you, if you have not been on, join us. It's the same credentials, the same link, and the same login information. Join us. It's just the same platform, just a different ministry that we work in partnership with, Faith Defender Bible Study. And it is led or headed by Deacon Everton Scott. So join us this and every Saturday at 8 p.m. We meet again next Thursday, right here on this platform. I think we will have prayer meeting at that time where we can put our requests before the Lord. A few
Amen.
weeks ago, people of God, we launched a website, and the website has a collection of all our recordings, all our studies, everything that would have happened on Prayer Portal for the last year, for 2025 and now 2026, and it keeps updating. So just in case you joined late tonight or you want to re-listen to tonight's recording, you can visit our website where it will be posted as early as tomorrow. You just need to type in prayerportaltoheaven.com and it will come up. Prayer Portal to Heaven, no space, all lowercase, prayerportaltoheaven.com, and you will be able to access these recordings. I'm just going to bring our attention to our mission and our vision statement, and then I'll ask Deacon to do the benediction for us as we go. Our mission as a ministry is to uplift and equip believers, building an inclusive ministry rooted in prayer, compassion, and discipleship that prepares and inspires all to live for God's kingdom. That is our mission, to equip you as believers into our inclusive ministry rooted in prayer, compassion, and discipleship that inspires and prepares us all for God's kingdom. Our vision as a ministry is to become a global prayer family, empowering believers to disciple others, fostering a world that is transformed by the love and teaching of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that is our
Amen.
vision.
Amen.
To become disciples, to
Amen.
foster a world transformed by the love and teaching of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to
Amen.
invite Deacon to come and share and send us off with a blessing. God bless you, everyone. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much again, Brother Adrian, for presenting. And I hope that each of you were blessed tonight. Deacon, send us off with a benediction.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord God of our salvation, lift up the light of his holy countenance upon us all and give us peace and keep us in the spirit of redemption for your name's sake, both now and forevermore. Walk with God, people
Amen.
of God, and to
Amen.
him be all the
Amen.
glory. Amen.
Praise
Bless the Lord,
God. Good to
Brother
have you on, Sister
Granville.
Pretty.
Amen.
God
Amen.
bless you, Sister
Amen.
Pretty.
Blessings, blessings.
God bless
Blessings,
you,
bless
Sister Pretty.
everybody.
Amen.
Praise
Blessings,
God.
bless the Lord,
praise
Brother Granville. Bless God.
God.
Amen. Sister
Amen.
Terry,
Looking
Sister
forward.
Legister, Sister Lynette, Minister Lynette Escott. Bless God.
God bless you, Sister
Amen.
Kenesha.
Blessings,
Shani, God
blessings,
bless you. Sister Dawn,
blessings,
God bless
blessings.
you. It's good to
Yes,
have you
bless
on,
the
Sister
Lord,
Dawn.
Sister
Good
Lovely
night,
Dawn.
everyone. Blessings,
Good night,
everyone.
my brother
Brother
Walker.
Charlton, God
Good
bless
night,
you.
everybody. Have a
God
great
bless
night.
God.
God
Good
bless
night.
you.
Have a great
Dr.
night,
Wall,
everyone.
Yes, God. Sister
Sunday,
Dawn.
God bless you.
Amen.
Sister
Amen.
Deep Wright,
Sister
Sister
Granville.
Ingrid, Sister Eva, Sister
Bless
Nicole,
God.
Sister King.
Sister
Amen.
Len,
Brother.
Sister
Praise
Novice,
Sister
Sister
Bright, Sister
Olga,
Eva.
Sister Pam,
iPhone.
Sister
Bless God,
Colette,
iPhone.
Sister Colette, God bless
Samsung.
you, Sister
Sister
Terry, God bless
Beverly.
you.
Samsung
Praise
E25.
God.
Bless God.